open our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If you came today without a Bible, simply raise your hand good and high. We'd like to hand one to you so you can follow along with us. James chapter 1. We'll also make our way to Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Ezekiel chapter 33. I'll ask Wendy to kind of leave that up there so you can get your Bibles bookmarked as we continue. Bibles open to James chapter 1. I wonder if you might not do me a favor this morning. As we were worshiping, I felt the Lord kind of impress it upon my heart that we would pray for each other. I'll do the praying. You certainly can pray in quiet, but if you would lay a hand on someone next to you, maybe a loved one or a friend or even someone sitting next to you, and we just want to put hands on each other and ask God to prepare us for today's word. Always trying to be obedient to what God tells us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the brothers and sisters that are sitting around us. God, those that you have called into your kingdom or are calling into your kingdom or equipping for your kingdom. God, as we lay hands, we know we're obeying the word of God. For we all need prayer. We all need to have that prayer and that right hand of fellowship being placed upon us. As Paul laid hands on brothers to send them out into the field, God, I pray, anoint these, each and every one, to be used for you. Lord, I don't know where they're at, but you do. We know that the desires of their hearts are ever before you. And we pray, God, anoint with the Holy Spirit, empower with the Holy Spirit. I pray for their senses this morning. I pray that they would hear the word of God. And more importantly, leave here living out the word of God. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. This morning we're going to be talking about obeying the Word of God. Certainly is important to read our Bibles. Certainly is important to know the Scriptures. But what good does the Scripture do if we don't live it? What good does the Scripture do if we don't obey it? And so there is a very strong need for God's people to live out His Word. There was a grocer who lived in an apartment above his store. Every morning he would call down to his assistant, John? Yes, sir, John would say. Have you watered down the milk? Yes, sir. Have you colored the butter? Yes, sir. Have you put chicory in the coffee? Yes, sir. Very well, John. Come up for morning devotion. Interesting, isn't it? A man who was committed to doing devotions, but really wasn't allowing the Word of God to penetrate his heart. Oh, what an error we make when we spend time with God, with the Word of God, with the heart of God, and don't obey what He says. It does us absolutely no good to say, yes, I've memorized the entire book of James, but I'm not going to do a thing that it says in it. It's meaningless. It's hypocritical, as the Bible would call it. So this morning, I want us to ask the question, am I one who obeys the Word of God? Am I one that just hears it, understands it, embraces it, and then applies it to my life? Don't answer out loud. But certainly that is what God would want. You see, for some people, the Word of God has little impact. They read it, but it goes in one ear and out the other. Colossians 3:16 says, Paul says to the church there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That word dwell means to live, to take up residence. See, we either accept the word, embrace the word, or we reject it. We push it aside. We say, I'm not ready for it yet. Which certainly there are those seasons where we're allowing God to work in us and let the word become a part of us. But as I said, what point is having the word dwell in you if you're not living it out and obeying it day by day? As we come to the last verses in James chapter 1, I have four questions for each and every one of us this morning. With regards to obeying the word of God. So I hope you have note and pen ready. Number one, I'm going to give you right off the bat. The first question, are my ears clogged up? Are my ears clogged up? Look with me, James chapter 1, verse 21. We read, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Four things, four questions. The first one, are my ears clogged up? Verse 21 in the first half, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. The first half of that verse, if we remember from last week, James is telling us, make sure that our ears are open. Make sure that we're hearing the word of God and living it out. And so he follows up with saying, if therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, in order to hear the word of God properly and effectively, you must start with getting rid of the noise of sin. First and foremost, the noise of the world, the things around us, unclogging your ears with the perversity of the world. You cannot effectively hear God's voice. You cannot effectively receive the word of God if you're steeped in sin, if you're overwhelming yourselves with the things of the world. I ask you again, is the music you listen to sending a negative message? Are the lyrics in these songs planting in your heart the wrong idea? Are the movies that you watch filling your head with dark images? Are the books that you read formulating a false sense of true love? Are the friends you follow on Twitter and Facebook good for you? Well, I just follow them because I want to make sure I keep up with what they're doing so I can pray for them. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not a fan of Twitter and Facebook. I mean, I'm not against it. But it's like sometimes it's just too much. It's too much negativity. It's too much stuff that I don't need to be listening to. I don't need to hear someone's opinion on what they have to say sometimes. So I apologize. I admit I do defriend some people. I admit it. But not you, of course. Look what Colossians 3:8 says. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Just in case we were wondering what he's talking about. These are the things that we must put off. These are the things that we must get out of our lives. Oh, we can justify one side and down the other our actions and the reason we do things. But listen, these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language should not be coming out of our mouths, should not be coming out of our lives. Now, there is certainly righteous anger, and we understand that. But listen, this should not be the traits of a Christian. See, James says right here in verse 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. These words, lay aside, if you write in your notes, is to put away and to stop. He's not just saying all this filthiness, all this stuff, just set it over here for safekeeping. No, no. He's saying get it out of your life. Lay it aside and never go back to it. Do not participate in these things. In other words, you're not to put it down next to you, these things. You are to remove them from your life completely if you want to hear clearly the Word of God. It's hard for God's still small voice to penetrate a heart that is filled with darkness. It is hard to penetrate the ears of a believer who's compromising in their faith. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't speak to those that are struggling. He does. In fact, I believe with all my heart that God is always speaking. The question is, how well are we hearing? That's what it is. Are my ears clogged up? Turn with me to our first stop, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at verse 20. Same idea as Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Paul says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Here it is. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness." Paul's saying the same thing. Put off the old character, put on Christ. We have to take off the things that we used to do, the thoughts that we used to have. My prayer for each and every one of us is that over the years living with God and serving the Lord and being a Christian, we've learned to stop doing some of the things that we used to do. Right? When we get older, we put away childish things. Now, that doesn't mean we don't struggle. And I don't want to put too much of a heavy conviction on you, but there's going to be things that you're struggling with. There's going to be things in your life that you're dealing with. But listen, there should be a true heart. There should be a true desire in your life to get those things out, to put those things aside, to stop doing them so that your ears can be opened. Are you actively putting these things off? Are you thinking in your mind, "I'm doing okay. Nobody knows. I do it behind closed doors. My wife doesn't know. My husband doesn't know. My kids don't know. My friends don't know. I'm okay." Danger. Danger, danger. What is it? Will Robertson. There we go. Danger. Don't think that when it's behind closed doors that nobody sees. Because guys, truly, we serve a God that sees everything. And who cares if your spouse knows? Who cares if your husband knows? Who cares if your friends know? God knows. Uh-oh. God knows. He sees that. And his heart breaks for that. Listen, he's not standing up there, "Well, I can't wait to get him." No, he's going, "Why are you doing that? Why are you allowing that? That's eroding your spirit. That's eroding away at your soul. It's bringing death into your life. Don't do it." So get it out in the light. Get it out in the light of God and say, "God, help me with this." And maybe you have. But also ask others to help keep you accountable. It's a lot harder to commit sin or to think about sin when you know you got to sit across from someone else and say, "How you doing? How's your marriage? How's your relationship with God? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayers?" "Well, I don't really pray." You know, it's just a little bit harder to compromise when we know we're sharing that with someone, and certainly sharing it with God. So first, I must ask myself, are my ears clogged up? The next question, the rest of verse 21, is my mind made up? Is my mind made up? Look at the second half of verse 21 back in James. "And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." So he says here in the beginning, make sure your ears aren't plugged. Make sure you're not deceiving yourself and have an overflow of filthiness and wickedness, and receive with meekness the word. Is my mind made up? Many people don't hear the Lord when they read the word because they lack a spirit of meekness before God. This word meekness means to receive the word willingly. Receive the word willingly. To come meekly means to say, basically, whatever you say, God, I want to do it. However you bring it to me, I will obey. That's a heart of meekness. That's receiving the word, no matter how hard it is. I don't know about you, and I use this example a lot because, I don't know, maybe this is where that's kind of hard for husbands. We're called to love our spouses as Christ loved the church. In parentheses, I say impossible. It's impossible for me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. But it doesn't mean I don't stop trying. Doesn't mean I don't put my best effort forward. Because I can't do it in my own strength, I know that. It's possible with God helping me. It's impossible when God hits me upside the head and said, send a text to your wife, tell her you love her, encourage her. I need God's help in that, right? So we need to realize that our minds need to be made up. We need to be in that place where I'm going to receive the word, and I'm going to accept that word, and I'm going to do what it says. If you're wishy-washy on that, guess what? Every hard verse in the Bible, you're going to be like, ooh, cross that one out. No, those are the ones you highlight. Those are the ones you put on a prayer list. These are the things I'm working on in my life so that I live a life that honors God. No, is your mind made up? I hope not. I hope you say, I come to you, God, not with my own agenda or plan, but I come to you seeking your agenda and your plan. God, what is it? What is it? Because the one that I'm living right now, I don't like. You ever been in that season in your life? Where the season you're in, I don't like it. God, can you change it? Sometimes God says, yes, I can change it. Other times God says, no, I want you to live through it. Do we try to find another God to get a different answer? No. Okay, Lord, if you want me to live through it, then I will. Let's do this together. Allow the word to do its work in you. Notice again, in the second half of verse 22, receive with meekness, that means receive it willingly, the implanted word. Do you see how important this is? That the word of God needs to be planted in our hearts. James tells us it is an implanted word, which means to be established in our heart. And again, we should memorize the verses. We should memorize the word of God so that it becomes established in our hearts so that we live it. I love the word of God. I love the spirit of God that reminds me about the word of God, that when I'm ministering to someone or when I'm talking to someone, God says, share that verse with them. That verse is going to be effective right now. Not only does it minister to that person, but it helps remind me that I know the word of God is implanted in my heart. Is the word of God implanted in your heart and in your mind? It has to get to your heart. God forgive us if it's only in our heads, because then we're just Bible thumpers, giving out verses like darts. No, no, no. The word of God is there to convict and to encourage. It's an implanted word. Next stop. I know we're moving quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. First Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. Oh, I just love this. I love this. Do you love this? Love the word of God? Truly. That's why we turn to it. That's why we bring our Bibles, right? Because we need to know the word. I don't know why I'm saying these things. I'm just talking while you're turning. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, look at this, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. Paul is saying, you know, you saw how we lived the word of God, how effective it was in our lives, verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, here it is, because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is, in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Verse 14, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. So Paul is saying, listen, you saw how our character was. You saw how we behaved. You saw how we lived the word. You heard the word that we shared with you, and then you embraced it. You received it, and you lived it. It doesn't do any of us any good if there's only a handful of people in any church that are obeying the word. We all have to. We all have to obey the word. And we're a family. We're a team. We should be encouraging each other in the word. Sharing scripture with each other. Guys, that's the only way the word is going to come out of you is if you're living it out loud, being obedient to it, and letting the world around you know, this is why I live the way I do, because the word of God compels me to live this way. We might look funny to the world. We might look strange. But we're living the word of God. And that's what Paul is saying here. Oh, are my ears clogged up? Is my mind made up? Or do I accept the word of God as it says, implanted in our hearts? Number three, I know we're going fast. The third question, back in James. Are my ears clogged up? Is my mind made up? The next question, is my heart mixed up? Is my heart mixed up? Look with me at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at this. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, circle that, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Okay? Is my heart mixed up? Am I deceiving myself? This is a serious question that James is proposing before us. Am I deceiving myself? Am I thinking just because I read the scripture means I'm living the scripture? Big error, my friends. Just because you know the scripture doesn't mean you're obeying it, does it? Does it? Does it? Okay. Thank you. No, just because we know it doesn't mean we're living it. I think it should be the other way around. Because we're living it, that shows that we do know it. Much better. Because we're living out what the scripture says. I love this verse. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That word, basically the heart is, don't just sit there and tell me the word, tell it to me. Okay, good, I'm going to go now. How many people, how many Christians are sitting in church today just receiving the word, walk away going, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. I went to church. Wow. Church is a time for you to receive the word, to embrace the word, and then to go out and share it and live it. That's what church is about. Church is about living the word. When you hear a sermon or read a book, do you say to yourself, right on, I agree with that? Right on, oh yeah, I love a good sermon that convicts my heart. Yes. But you know what happens when conviction comes? The next step should be action. When conviction comes, there must be action. It can't be just, yeah, that's a great concept, and man, I wish I could live. No, the concept here, I'm living that. You can deceive yourself by seeing the needs and not taking action in your life. You'll be deceived if you see those things. As he says in this example, it's like someone who looks at their face in the mirror, walks away and forgets. The same thing. He's saying, if you look into the word of God, the liberty that is there, and read it and receive it and do it, you're going to be blessed. Anybody in here want to be blessed? Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be blessed. Excellent. Excellent. Don't you hate when pastors ask you to do that? That's just so they can get a drink of water. You want to be blessed. The word says, don't deceive yourself. Be a doer of the word. And listen, it sure would be nice if you held this book in your hand, all of a sudden you're doing everything that says in it. Wouldn't that be nice? But the thing is, we just got to do one thing at a time, right? One thing at a time. Whatever that is, whatever conviction is, if you're listening to a teaching on the radio, if you're listening to a song and a lyric just penetrates your heart, that conviction, listen, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, here's an area of your life we can work on. And when that conviction comes, action must come next. There must be a change in our mind saying, I need to work on that. And this is what I'm going to do to work on that. I'm going to put some steps into place so that I can be better as a Christian, as a husband, a wife, a child, whatever, teacher, worker. This is what we need to be doing. Do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Obeying the word of God only happens when you are actively living out the word of God. The only way you can obey the word of God is simply to obey the word of God. Is to do it. To do what it says. And like I said, what good is knowing the word if you're not doing it? It's not having any impact on your life. So we got to know it. Turn with me now to Ezekiel. I guess I didn't bookmark that. Ezekiel. And let me tell you, oh yeah, I did. Ezekiel 33. This area of scripture convicted me big time. My hope and prayer is that it convicts us all. Ezekiel 33 and verse 23. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, and he inherited the land. But we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. So in other words, God is saying, the people who are dwelling in Jerusalem are saying, Abraham inherited it, but we've possessed it. It's our land. Okay? Look what God says. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood. Wrong. You lift up your eyes toward your idols. Wrong. You shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations and you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? Are you getting the idea here? Say thus to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the ruins shall fall by the sword, and the one who is in the open field I will give to the beasts to be devoured. God seems to be serious here, don't you think? And those who are in the strongholds and caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will make the land most desolate. Her arrogant strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. Then they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Now look at this in verse 30. As for you, God is now turning from the children of Israel. He is now speaking to Ezekiel. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Notice what they just said there. Verse 31. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them a very lovely song and one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on the instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, look at this, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. What God is saying to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you're a great speaker. Wow, you're a great exhorter of the word. Boy, you people are coming to hear you, but they're not coming to hear me. And here's the conviction for all of us. God forbid that you come here for any other reason than to hear from the word of God, to hear from the Spirit of God, and to obey Jesus Christ. You hear me? I'm not here to entertain. I don't want people to like me. I want people to love Jesus Christ. Liking me is okay. But I want people to love Jesus Christ and obey the scriptures. So I'm praying today that when we leave here, that we're heard the word of God. That's why I thought it was so important to lay hands on each other. God, help us to hear your word and then go and do it. Is it easy? I wish I could say it was. But it's very fruitful, and it's very much a blessing in your life when you do obey. Because really, at the end of the day, if we want to stand before God and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, we got to obey the word. We cannot be coming to hear me. My prayer is always, God, and actually Trent prays it almost every Sunday, God, let Rob's words fall by the wayside and let your word remain. Let your word remain. I want you to leave here remembering what God said. Remember what his conviction in your life is. I'm hoping you're writing in your notes, I need to work on this, and highlight it with a big star and underline it. Say, this is what I'm going to work on this week. Not just, oh, that was a good sermon. Boy, that made me feel good. Let's just walk out and forget it. No, no. Hear it. Embrace it. Live it. Oh, that's great. That was a great sermon, but I'm not going to do anything about it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Look back at James, what it says, one more time. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Are you going to fail? Are you going to make a mistake? Yep, but get right back up and continue in it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the word. Look at this one will be blessed in what he does. You know what that's saying? God's going to anoint your life. God's going to put his Holy Spirit upon you because you're obeying the word of God, and you're going to be blessed. At the end of the week, you can look back and go, wow, look what God did. Look what the Lord did. What a blessing it is to be used by God. And that's not just for pastors and elders and deacons to be blessed in serving the Lord. It's for Christians, all Christians, all Christians. Are my ears clogged up? Is my mind made up? Is my heart mixed up? And finally, are my actions lined up? Are my actions lined up? Look at these last couple verses. Verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what? Useless. Useless. Are my actions lined up? Look, verse 27 tells us, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Are you visiting orphans and widows every single day? That's not what the word is saying. It is saying that. But what God is saying here through the word of God and through James is like, listen, look around you and find people that are struggling. Find people that cannot help themselves. An orphan has no ability to create his own family. A widow is someone whose husband and family is gone. They're by themselves. They cannot support themselves. Are we looking as Christians for people that we can help, that we can assist, that we can come alongside in the simplest of tasks, the littlest of things to do in kindness and to say, in the name of God, I did this, and to open up an opportunity to minister to those people? That's why our actions need to be lined up with the word of God. Otherwise, our religion is useless. I wrote this down. It is apparent that God's emphasis is not on religious ritual, but rather right living. It's that simple, guys. Living the word, certainly, in our own lives, doing the things God has called us to do, not always easy, but it's good to be around someone who's accomplished it or is finding success in it and to get around those people. Some of you younger people that are just getting married, it's a new season. And us who have been married a long time, we know where you're at. We've been there. There are brighter days ahead, I guarantee it. But there are those who can come alongside you. Stay the course. Stay the course. Are there going to be difficult times in your marriage? You betcha. But you know what? Those are the things that are to make you the strongest couple in years to come. If you will continue, if you will endure. Too many people, even in the church, oh, this is getting too hard, I quit. I give up. Don't ever. You've heard me say it a million times. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. Until God tells you to walk, walk. Then you don't. Do what God tells you to do. Does God want big churches filled with a lot of people? Or does God want a lot of churches filled with faithful people? Faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the word? Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful to your workplace? Committed to do what's right, even though everybody else is doing something else. That's why I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody bowed down, but not them. Burn us up. We don't care. We will not bow down to a false god. Their commitment to God was tireless. Are we committed to God in that way? God is not impressed with everything that we can accomplish. But God is impressed with obedience to his word. And then he can accomplish the work, right? He can accomplish the work. Listen. There are times when our ears are clogged up. There's times when we don't want to hear it. There are times when our mind is made up. I'm just going to do this. How many times have I talked to people who said, I'm done. I'm finished. Their mind's made up. It's hard to minister to someone whose mind is made up, and no matter how many scriptures you share, no matter how much you pray for them, their mind is made up. I'm going to make this choice. Is it the right choice? No, it's the wrong choice, and it's very clear, but their mind's made up. How many of us have our hearts are mixed up? Our hearts are mixed up. There's just an uncertainty. If we live by feelings, God forbid, God forgive us. We got to live by the things that we know. And are my actions lined up? Are we doing the things God calls us to do? And here it is. When you know you're doing what God tells you to do, when you're living that way, is when you hear him tell you to do something and you do it without even questioning. Whatever. Go pray with that person over there. Go give to that person. Be nice to someone. Oh, I can't be nice to people. They're not nice to me. Guess what? I find when I'm nice to someone, typically they're nice back. And if they're not, I got the chance to pray for someone who's really not doing so good. It's the best way I can put it. Find those opportunities to do what God calls us to do. And I'm telling you, I got it underlined in my Bible. This one will be blessed in what he does. On the other side, we're blessed by it. So be used by God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We praise your name. And we're thankful, God, for the book of James and that scripture that says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So, God, I ask, not only were the ears anointed to hear, but I pray the hearts were willing and able to receive your truth. That, God, we would hear your voice. That we would get the clutter and the noise of sin in the world out of our hearts, out of our homes, out of our workplaces, so that we can hear clearly your voice and walk in your ways. Bless your church. Bless your people. That we would be a blessing to one another. That we would be there for each other. That you would work out our busy schedules and our plans, God, so that we can invite you in to do your will. We love you, Lord. Bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.